You know, I'm thankful that Pastor BJ read that, because last time I read the verses and came and sat down, didn't even pray. Y'all can laugh. Y'all can laugh. Woke up this morning and was trying to figure out, why am I so nervous when I get up here? Was in South Africa and was in a school, and I guess there was 80 to 90 kids in that class, and I wasn't that nervous. I get up here, my knees are shaking, my mouth gets dry, and don't know what to say sometimes. And I go, but you know what? I thought about it. It's because of the people that are sitting out there too. Not only is this God's sacred desk and it's a privilege to speak God's word, but it's also the people that's out here. Because they're some of the best Christians I know in this room. And that tears you up right there. I can't teach you anything, but God can. I can't show you anything, but God can. And these verses here, they're popular verses. You've probably heard messages preached out of them. But all I ask tonight is if you take and let God work in your heart with those verses. Let God's word work in your heart and make a difference in your life. That's all I ask. I don't ask for me, I ask for God. Also, all I ask, if I sound like I'm getting mean or mad, don't worry, because I'm preaching this to me, not y'all. I had someone come to me and say, not too long ago, said, you know, I'm sorry, Brother David, I haven't been doing like I should. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I can't say anything to you, because it's me. It's me that's not doing it right. And we need reminders and stuff to do things that we're supposed to do. So let's look at these verses here, and we're going to go through them quickly. I got some notes here, but we're going to go through them. But I want to look at verse 16. It says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. Now, you know, Jesus is saying this parable here, but this parable, you know, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I didn't turn this on. I did that again last time. Because I get to moving around and I forget not to turn it on. All right. So he makes this, he's telling this story, this earthly story. And he says, certain man made a great supper. Now notice, it wasn't just an ordinary supper. It was a great supper. You know, I think God is a Baptist. Because you mentioned food and we're here. You know, you mentioned food, or we're going to have some good food. We're here, especially gravy and biscuits. I tell you what, they're going to be on the bus if you have gravy and biscuits on the bus. You know, you have gravy and biscuits for breakfast. Oh, man. We went away for a couple days, and we went to a hotel, and they had gravy, but they didn't have no biscuits. And that was in the South. Well, if you want to call North Carolina the South, I guess they got to get right with God. I tell you, having gravy and no biscuits. But it was a great supper. Even my son, you know what? He went on vacation, went down to Bahamas and all that. You know what he called me back the very first day? He called bragging about? It wasn't the view. It was the meal. Man, Dad, it was laid out. He was telling me all about this. This man had a great supper. God wants you to know that it wasn't just no ordinary supper. It was a great supper. It was something great. And sometimes we take the salvation we got and I'm afraid someone gets hey, okay. But you know what? We let the Redskins win the Super Bowl, and we're posting it on Facebook. We're doing all that. We're doing everything. You get the big buck. You got pictures of him. You got him on. You name it. But we don't take salvation sometimes. We neglect it. God says, so great a salvation. Neglect it. Don't neglect so great a salvation. Someone's going to heaven. Someone's going to heaven that you had a part in. Those buses don't leave out of this parking lot that not one person, if you tithe here, didn't have a part in it. You had a part in it. You say, you didn't, I don't get on the bus. Well, you know what? That bus is only a tool. Allows us, I can't pick up 20 kids, and neither can any other bus captain here or other bus workers, and fit all those kids and get them in here on their car. So we have to have a bus. But you know what? Each one of us in here can do the same thing. You don't have to have a bus.
You got a car? Each one of us can do the same thing. It's just, what are we going to do? Is that supper that great? Is that supper that great? You know, I read down here, and he bade many. He invited everybody. I remember when I got saved, the very first thing I did when I got saved is I went and told my family. I went and told my family, tried it, and you know what? I basically got the same thing that this servant got. That's basically what I got. Okay. Why don't you come to church? Well, you know, we got this going on. We got that going on. Got this going on. But see, it didn't discourage me. You know why? Because it wasn't mine. It's not my, they're not refusing me. It's not my invitation. It's God's invitation. See, he said, he bade many. He had already prepared the supper. He had already did all the inviting. You know, the heavens declare God's handiwork. The heavens declare it. They know there's a God. People know that there is a God. You talk to anybody in America, they know there's a God, but they don't know how to get to heaven. But they know there's a God. Then they have to make a choice, okay? Am I going to accept what Jesus Christ has done? All we're doing is, you know, I really love this. We don't do it much anymore, but I really love this. We used to on Christmas, and I don't know how, maybe I'm not noticing or maybe I'm too busy here, but we would make Christmas cards. And before Christmas, my wife would have all these cards made out, and then that night when we go to church, the kids would go around handing out all the Christmas cards to everybody. Everybody, all the kids were handing out Christmas cards to everybody. You know what? That's all you're doing. An invitation. You're just saying, hey, I got an invitation for you. Here, I got an invitation for you. It was already prepared. It was already done. That supper was prepared, ready, and everything. And he had bade many. You look down in verse 17, and he said, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. It's ready. You know, we don't have to do anything for Jesus Christ. I don't have to get on the bus. I don't have to do anything to go to heaven. He's done it all. He has done everything. He loved me so much, even though that I was a sinner, he still allowed his son to die for me. And he didn't allow him to die saying, you know what, Brother David's going to get saved. No, he allowed him to die, giving me the free choice to whether I'm going to get saved or not. He didn't make me get saved. See, he gave me that free choice. He didn't love me so much saying, I love him so much. He's going to. Sometimes our kids do things for us, and our wives do things for us, and we do things for our wives because we expect something out of doing it. You know, call me late for everything but not dinner. I tell you what, you show up late for dinner and your wife's been cooking dinner. I made mine a little bit mad this evening. And I was so nervous when I got up here, before I got here. She cooked dinner. I looked at it. I can't eat it. I could see in her face, next time I cook dinner. So you know what I'm talking about. She's shaking her head, yeah. I was so nervous. I said, if I eat this, I'm gonna end up sick. Not because of her meal, because I was just too nervous. Now you're laughing. Now you're laughing, okay. Loosen up, don't be so stick. You know what? You know, loosen up, all right? And he says, you go out, you tell them it's ready. And I thank God that everything's ready. It was all prepared. The price has been paid. All I have to do is receive it. I can imagine going around here and handing out Christmas cards or gift cards or Chick-fil-A sandwiches, meals, free meals. And someone says, oh, no, I don't want that. Oh, I don't want that. You know what? All we have to do is receive it. It was already ready. You know, and he looked down and he says, and he sent his servant at the supper time. Look to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I want to read one verse to you. I could share a whole message on this one verse. And it says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know what? We're to be witnesses all over. Not just here. Not just in Culpeper. Not just in Rutgersville. Not just in Madison. Not just in Charlottesville. Not just in Warrington. We're to be witnesses all over. But you know what? We're not very good multitaskers. We like to think we are. Our younger generation thinks we can do that. Nah, it's been proven you can't do it. It's been proven you do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We're not good multitaskers. You're going to let something falter. You're going to let something falter. Listen, we have to remember that, you know what? I think Pastor talked about it one morning. We talked about it. Discussion got a little heated too. You know, it's easy to go across to another country because they're hungry. They want the gospel. They're hungry there. But it's harder to do it here when, you know what? They know God. So you know what we tend to do because we're lazy? We tend to do the easy one first. We tend to go where it's easier. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to leave your family and do all that stuff. But you know what? As a church, we have to make sure that we're not leaving the ones right next door to us. We're not leaving the ones down the street from us. See, he sent him out, and he sent him out to do the ones right next door to him. You know, those were his friends. He'd already give them the invitation. Those were his friends. Like my family, when I first got saved, I went to them and I said, man, my dad's got to get saved. My brother's got to get saved. My mom's got to get saved. My uncles are got to get saved. All these people have got to get saved. I knew I had to talk to them. But then they gave me all these excuses. And I thank God my dad got saved. I thank God my mom is saved. I thank God my brother's saved. But you know what? It took a long time. They didn't just jump in and say, okay. It took a long time. And actually, if I'd stopped, I believe they wouldn't have got saved. Listen, he sent them there. He sent them there, and it says that come, for all things are ready. We don't have to do anything to prepare it. We're saved by grace through faith. Do you know what else? Look down in 14. Look down in 14, and it says, look, 14, 18, excuse me. And they with all one consent began to make excuses. Now, I'm not going to go read every verse here because this isn't the reason. I'm not talking about our excuses. But you know what? This is America today. You know, the two of those excuses were they had some land. We worry about what we got. Worrying about the possessions we have. I read the one gave the two teams of oxen. The oxen there. I said, yep. How many times I went by somebody's house and they said, well, you know, that's the only day I get to wash my truck. That's the only day I get to do that. That's the only day I get to do this. You know my excuse when I was, before I got saved? That's the only day I get to mow my yard. Isn't that the land? We use excuses for not serving God. These people use excuses for not coming to God. Coming to the great supper that he has. Not coming to the salvation. Not accepting it. But we use them too. We use excuses too. We use excuses like our family. The last one said, I've gotten married, so you know, I can't come. Now this is me, okay? So if I'm hard right now, if I sound mean, it's Brother David talking to Brother David. Get off your lazy can when you get home and do what you got to do. If you got chores to do, do them. If you need to spend time with your family, get off the couch and don't be sleeping. Go spend time with your family. If you need to do things, go do it. I know me, because when I walk in the house, if I sit down, that's the last place Brother David's going. I'm lazy, I'm a bum, and I know it. And guess what? Most of y'all are the same way. Most of us men are the same way. I see the women in here, You're right, that's the way we are. But we use our family as an excuse for not doing anything for God. Be careful of that. Be real careful of that. Because God can wake you up the hard way and hurt you. And one day you're looking at your son in an incubator. Can't breathe. Because you're out doing what you want to do. And you're not listening to God. You're trying to put God on the back burner. Say, God, leave me alone. God, leave me. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm busy. God, I got plans in my own life, God. And you get a phone call. And you don't even know if your son's going to make it. Be careful what you use for an excuse. God can take that excuse away. Be careful. Listen. But these people made an excuse. So you look in verse 21, it says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. You know what? We take light church. We take light church. We take light our ministry sometimes. We make light of them. Save people. I'm talking about save people. People that you know they're no, at least I would think they're going to heaven. We make light of it. But you know, God established the church. Jesus Christ established that. That's not something man-made. God established that. He made that. And you know what? We take light of it. The Satan likes to go around and say, well, you know what? It doesn't matter whether you go to church or not. You're still saved. Okay. Tell that to your wife the next time you don't show up on time when she's got dinner ready. Men, tell her that. She cooked your dinner. You said you're going to be home at 6 o'clock and you don't show up till 7. See how happy she'll be. And we think God's just going to brush it over. Oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Listen, the Bible said he was angry. He was angry with this. God's angry. Don't listen to Satan tell you, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Church is something man. No, church is not what man made. It's Christ made. Christ established the church. He said, Peter, I'm going to build my church upon you. I'm going to build it upon you. Listen, Christ did that, not man. And we lay out of church and go on vacation. Don't bother to go to church. We go here, go there. And we say, you know what? I'm on vacation. I don't have to go to church this week. Man, is that what church is to us? Is that what church is to us, really? Is it like a job? Well, I ain't got to go this week because I'm on vacation. Is that what it is? Because if it is, there's something wrong in our hearts. If that's what church is. See, he was angry. He was angry that they wouldn't come. He said, I've prepared this. I've got this all ready for them. And I've even given them the invitation. It wasn't like they didn't know it was going to happen. They'd already had the invitation. My wife is passing out invitations now. And it's like some of them will say, well, they'll wait 2 or 3 days before. Well, I ain't sure if I'm going to be able to make it. What do you mean? Well, I got this going on. You didn't know 3 weeks ago? No, you're just trying to find a good enough excuse. Listen, he was angry. God is angry. This baloney can stay out of church. Don't you love God? I want to ask you, don't you love God? If you're just going to lay out of church and have to say, well, the tree is my church. I'm going to go out and hunt. The tree is my church. Okay. Let that tree help you. Let that tree forgive you of your sins. Let that tree do for you what God has done for you. Let that deer, let that baseball, let that soccer ball, let that basketball do what God has done for you. See, God is angry with this stuff. And we accept it. And we go along with it. But God is angry about that. God is angry about that. You know what he told his servant? And he said, verse 21, he says, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes and in the cities and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. You know what he said? He said, go out quickly. You know, it's an urgency to it. There's an urgency. We have to go out. You realize in 1 second, 700 people have died in this world. 1 second, 700 people die. Now, I don't know where they're going for eternity, but 700 people are going somewhere for eternity. And we think going on outreach and visitation and stuff like that can be something that can be put off. I'm too busy. Better make time for it. It might be your loved one that dies. My wife had a very good friend. It was a while ago. It's been a while. She had bone cancer. And my wife kept putting off and putting off and putting off and putting off on going to talk to her about her salvation. And one day my wife got the call. She had passed away. You know what? My wife was busy. She worked 40 plus hours a week, taught her kids at night. That person still went to hell because they didn't know Christ. See, there's an urgency to it. He said, go quickly. Go quickly. Go quickly. He didn't tell, well, I tell you what, tomorrow you go and invite them. I tell you what, when you get around, he said, go quickly. Go out quickly into the streets. Into the streets. Go down this street. Go down that street. Go down the street you live on. Go across the street. Now, I know Brother Kenny Baldwin, one day he was preaching and he made a statement that stuck. I don't know if anybody ever caught the statement that he said. He said, when he was growing up, he was in church and stuff. He was growing up, and this one church, he contacted him or something. I can't remember exactly how it was. And he said, you know what? They talked about outreach. He said, well, they never outreached to me, and I lived right across the road from them. See, we can get just like those three that making excuses. We make excuses. Listen, he said, go quickly. Go quickly into the streets, into the highways. And he said, the poor, bring them in. Bring in hither. Bring in the poor. You know what? If you read back a little bit, Christ was talking about bringing in the ones that don't benefit you. You know what? I sometimes think we go to the ones that we're comfortable with. You know, it filled my heart when I read the letter, and I'm not telling who read the letter because they didn't put their names on it because I don't know who wrote the letter, but it filled my heart with joy when I heard it gave them confidence to go and share and invite people that didn't look like them, different cultures, different tattoos covered all over them. It gave them confidence that the bus ministry had built confidence in them. Because they're growing in God. They're growing. You know, God destroyed a tower because the people wouldn't spread out and wouldn't go out. They wanted to all stay together. You know, the hardest thing I got going on in my life right now is I'm going to miss my daughter. She's going to move away to Florida. And there ain't no hop, skip, and a jump to get there. And she's going to move away. But you know what? It's better that she move away and be in the will of God than stay here and not be. I'd rather go someplace else. I'd rather go. It's not saying if you stay here, you're not in the will of God. Don't misunderstand me. But if God is talking to you and telling you to go somewhere and you need to do something, you need to go do it. That'd be like, you know, I got two bad shoulders. And if I don't get them fixed eventually, it's going to affect my whole body. So you being out of the will of God can affect the whole body, the whole church. Listen, he said, go. He said, go quickly. The urgency. You know what? If you look in verse 19, excuse me, verse 21 and verse 22, verse 22. And the servant said, now the servants, they went out and they got the poor, they got the maimed, they got the halt, they got the blind that didn't see, and the blind that was blind to God's will, the blind that was blind to God's salvation, they got the maimed that was brokenhearted, they got the poor that was physically poor and spiritually poor. They got the ones. I was sharing with Pastor, we had a family come today that rode our bus that don't even have a house to live in. That's what we bring in. You walk in an apartment building. Mariah, remember this. You walk in an apartment building, Mariah, and you can't stand to breathe. You're trying to hold your breath because the smell just gags you. Brother Eric and Brother Troy can tell you. Miss Sharon and Brother Allen can tell you. It was hard for me to share, and I look out here in the auditorium, and I almost started bawling and crying because the little girl that got baptized a couple weeks ago, she runs out and meets the truck in a pouring down storm to let me know she's coming to church. The poor. The ones that don't have that much. The ones that can't do much for you. That's what Jesus said, hey, that's the ones he came for. See, the religious crowd, they had what they wanted. Matter of fact, if you read back up in 15, a young man was talking to him there, and the man said, you know, and that's when Jesus gave his parable. He said, you're not going there. You're not going to taste this. You're not going to taste of this. You're not going to taste of this. Listen, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Look in verse 23. This is where I wanted to get. And it says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know what? They came back in verse 21 and 22. They came in, they got the poor, they brought them in, but the house still wasn't full. It wasn't full yet. It wasn't packed out yet. You know what? I sometimes think we get comfortable a little bit. And I'm talking about me, okay? I'm talking about me. I pull into church here and the parking lot's packed. Man, we got a great church, don't we? We got a great church here. But that don't mean we can stop. The man said, the master said? He said, go out. Go back out. He sent them back out. He sent them back out. See the persistence that God has? He said, listen, you went to your family? They didn't want it. Okay, fine. Go to the highways and the hedges. Go to down the street, down the lane. Go to the poor. Go to the maimed. Go to the blind. Go to them. Go to the halt. Go to them. They went to them, gathered them up what they could gather up that wanted to come in for that feast. And then he said, they came back and said, yeah, we did this. We've done it. We're doing it here, but we can't stop. We can't stop. We can't say, oh, we got a full house. No, we ain't got a full house. We ain't got a full house. We can line up chairs. We can do all kinds of things. It ain't full yet. Amen. It ain't full yet. You realize, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but you realize I had, for 10 years, I think I had Sunday school, Brother Allen, I think you did too, on a bus. 98, 100 degrees. We put fans in them. We had Sunday school class on the bus. Brother Dan, you remember? We had it on the bus. Brother Eric, you had it on the bus. Was it full? Yeah, it was full. Junior church had 100 in it. Teens, we had 50, 60, 70 teens. Brother Allen, am I telling the truth? And it wasn't full. I remember, I think our first vacation Bible school that I was a part of, I think there was 1,000. And I'm not exaggerating. We had to use Brother Eddie's barn for the teenagers. There were so many teenagers, we had to set the barn. We cleaned out his barn and used his barn for the teenage class. See, we get comfortable. We see a full parking lot. We see a full building on Sunday mornings. The seats are full, but the building ain't full. See, he said, he didn't say, oh, the seats are full. He said, go out that my room may be full, the whole thing, not just a little bit, not just part of, all of it. He said, go out, get the whole thing. I want not just the seats, all of it. He said, the room. He said, there's still more room. There's still more room here. There's still more room. And we can keep going out. See, he was persistent. He didn't say, okay, you've done it. The servant said, okay, I did what you wanted me to do. But the master said, no, go. I want you to go back out. Verse 23, he says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go in unto the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. He said, you go out in the highways. You go out in the hedges. That means you go down to the next town. You go in the back roads. Down in Madison, you go down in the back roads. You go back down over the valley, Brother Don. You go back down over there. You go back in the hedges, back where nobody else. Down a long drive. Brother Lee Stedham, getting saved. Nobody would have known there was a house way back in there. Drove all the way back, a bus drive, a mile down a dirt road, dirt driveway that a car, let alone drive on. Drive all the way back in there, but someone found him because someone was visiting. Someone went out and said, you know what? The room's not full yet. We got the halt, we got the maimed, we got the blind, and we got the poor, but you know what? We need to get some more. And we went out and got some more. And we found a Brother Lee Stedham. Lord, how long has he been saved? His whole family saved. Because we went down a lane, dirt road, way back in the back. Nobody, you can't even see it from the, you can't see it from 29. All the way back in the back. Listen, he said, go on out. But he said, compel them. You know, God says, compel them. I got four examples of compelling them. Listen, you know, in Mark 2, verse 2 and 5, 2 through 5, I'm not going to go to the verses, but I'll give you the examples. Here's Jesus preaching in a house. The crowd is gathered around. They can't get into the windows. They're looking through the windows. They can't get through the door. But you know what? There's four men that has a friend that are sick. He's sick. He can't get up. He can't move on his own. So you know what they do? They pick up the bed by each corner, and they get there, and they still can't get their friend to Jesus. So they climb up on the roof and they open up the roof and lower him down in there. That's compelling somebody. Are we willing to do something like that? Are we willing to take the extra mile? Are we willing to take the extra step? See, they had to take the extra step. They just got him there and that wasn't good enough. They ripped the roof off and got him there. They got him right to his feet. Are we willing to take the extra step to get him right to his feet? Or are we just, okay, well, I got him there. They took the extra step. That's compelling somebody. That's compelling. That's showing your love. That's showing the love that you have for someone. Because you're willing to compel. You're willing to take time out of your life. You're willing to do something that's not about you. And show them that they need it. That's compelling. The Good Samaritan. In Luke 10, 34 through 35. The Good Samaritan. He's been passed by the priest and some Levites. He walks over, sees a man beaten. You know what he does? Puts him on his ride. Gave him his ride. Helped him up on it. Then walked him. This reminds me of Brother Russell. See, that's why I get so nervous when I come up here. Because see, I could pick out somebody in this room that's done some of these things. But we can't forget and we can't quit doing them. That reminds me of Brother Russell telling me, you know, he picked up a hitchhiker one night and didn't have nowhere to stay or nothing. And he took him to a hotel. See, not only did the Samaritan take him to a hotel, he paid for it. He paid for that. And left word with the innkeeper, said, listen, if he needs anything else above what I've paid for, put it on my bill. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. That's what he did for us. He paid for it. He picked us up, a lot of us, when we were so down and so broken and that we didn't know what was going to happen to us, but he picked us up and saved us. He paid for all. And then he says, when we mess up now, he goes to God as our advocate, our lawyer. Keep from trying to use a fancy word with my mouth so dry. Ugh. You know what? He paid for it. And not only did he pay for it, Jesus says, that's on my account, Jesus. God, that's on my account. I saved him. That's on my account. Just like that good Samaritan. Told a total stranger, didn't even know him, but picked him up and took him and said, that's on my account. He said, if this here doesn't pay for it all, put it on my account. And that's what happens to us. We still sin every day. And Christ is going, wait a minute, God, that's on my account. Wait a minute, God, that's on my account. Listen, another one is Kings 2, 5, and verse 2 through 3, Naaman. You know what? Sometimes we forget our children. But this was a young lady, young maiden lady. She was a slave. Can you imagine? Now, our kids in here, there ain't none of them slaves. They may think mom and dad's a slave driver. Mine might have been real mad at me at times and said, Dad, he's so mean. He's just a slave driver. Makes me do this stuff, makes me do that and this. But you know what? This little girl was a slave. She had every right to be bitter in her heart. She had every right to not keep to herself, not to want to do anything or say anything. But she had a master. That was her master. She was a slave to this man. And he was sick. You know what? She said, if my master could only get to the prophet Elisha, if he could only get there, he could heal him. If he could only get there. You know what? Our kids can't go out and drive. Our kids aren't going to bring anybody else. But you know what? They can witness too. They can witness too. You know what? If you're not teaching your kids to witness, if you're not teaching your kids how to share the gospel with somebody, if you're, shame on you. You know, I'm going to brag on my daughter a little bit. We went to North Carolina for a graduation. I don't know if anybody else had that. But she had a whole pew of lost people at a graduation. She called me about a month ahead and said, Dad, will you pray? Because I want to see them get saved. But see, she didn't start doing that when she went to college. She was doing it before she left. She was doing it when she was here. She was doing it when she was 5 years old, knocking on that bus route, honey. She was doing that. See? That's a servant. That's compelling someone to come to church. That's compelling someone to get saved. You know what else? Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. You know what compels me to do anything? It's because God so loved me. Christ loved me even when I don't want to be lovable. Christ still loves me. Christ forgives me of every mistake I make. He still loves me. What compels us on Sunday mornings to get up at 5:30, some of our buses leave at 7:30 here. What compels them? Because Christ loved them. And they want to share that with someone else. They want to share that love. Why would a man let kids put, I don't know how they got them on there. I think they were throwing them on your head, Brother Troy. Put cotton balls, smear Vaseline all over his head. You know what he's doing? He's compelling. He's compelling them. He's compelling them. The way Christ. You know what? Those kids are going to remember that the rest of their lives. Somebody loved me. That's not mom and dad. Somebody loved me enough to bring me to church. Somebody loved me enough to tell me about Christ. See, that's compelling. That's compelling. That's what compels us to visit, the love we have for Christ. That's what compels us to go out and visit, the love we have for Christ. And that's what's going to compel the ones that need to get saved to get saved. It's going to be the love of Christ. And you showing the love of Christ through you. That's the only thing that's going to do it. We can have the biggest and best VBS, but if they don't see love through us, they're not going to get saved. And they're not going to change. I'm going to let Pastor close